That sounded so good, I almost was heading that way too. Well, some of you, some of us old-timers or more mature or seasoned, however you want to say it, know who I might be. I'm Ron Karkoski. My wife, Sandy, and her mom, Maddie, is with us. For those of you that don't know me and our family, you do know somebody in our family. And so that would be Abby Schnepp, and that's our daughter. And so when I say how good the music is here, I guess I'm a little bit biased, if you will, but I know the Lord is using this powerful team in a wonderful way as they lead us into worship each week. This is a privilege for me to be able to be here. This church is home, and it was home for Sandy years before we ever met. But this is the first time that I have ever been able to preach here, and so I am honored today to be able to do that. Also, just before I begin, I just want to tell you how much I believe that the staff you have here is just incredible. The staff, and then led by Pastor Joe, who has done such an amazing job of bringing the vision and the mission that God has for Anderson First Church in an incredible way. We need to pray for Pastor Joe and his family. We need to be thankful that he can get away on weekends sometimes. Pastoring is it's a difficult, incredibly hard job sometimes. And so I thank you. I'm going to thank you for him, for your patience at times that you give all of us as pastors as we try to do what God asks us to do. I had one other thing I wanted to say as an intro, but I can't remember it, so that's okay. It'll come to me. I know what it is. Over the last couple years, our family, and as many of you as well, have been through a lot of difficult times. It began back with COVID that we had in our household a couple years ago. And even though we had been gone for a number of years from this church, you came alongside us with your pastor in a wonderful way, with meals and encouragement and prayer. And so we thank you for that so much. And then with the two hip surgeries I've had over the last 4 or 5 months, your prayers have been so, so appreciated. And so thank you for your kind words as you've greeted us. And thank you for those prayers as you have brought us before the Lord. Well, today I want to leave you with or bring you this thought for us to think about. What will you leave behind? What will you leave behind? I'm going to read from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 in just a little bit. But I want us to think about it. We're talking about legacy here. That's what we're talking about. There's a story of a 16-year-old boy. And he rode his bike past the neighborhood clothing store, just hoping that he could catch a glimpse of the gorgeous young girl who worked there after school. He was then so lucky that as a junior in high school, that this same young girl that he had his eye on happened to end up in the same school study hall class that he had. You see, notes, as the story goes, were passed back and forth, and there was some flirting that happened during that year. Finally, that summer, he got the courage to ask her out on a date. And she said yes. And they dated during their senior year. And they were engaged then that summer, following school, And then they got married that fall. Now, after getting married, the young man, and now part of the couple, the married couple, began attending church here, yes, at AFC. And he attended with his bride, who had attended all of her life. You see, he ended up working at GM, General Motors, and she worked in the medical field. Now, the AFC pastor at that time chose to invest in their lives, asking them to direct the youth choir and also to volunteer working with the youth. And then, for many years, they directed the adult choir here. Later, they were asked to lead worship, and they would tell you that it was a joy, an absolute joy, to serve the Lord through music and worship. You see, this church was home and provided a place for this couple to grow in their walk with the Lord. Then God did what only God can do. After nearly 30 years, God called that couple, no longer young, called that couple into full-time pastoral ministry. And in 2001, AFC sent them out into the harvest field. And yes, I suppose for at least some of you, by now, you probably realize that that couple was Ron and Sandy Karkoski. And for some of us older folks, I want to share an old pic for you. Yeah. Oh my. I definitely married up, yes? No question about it. And I can tell you this, that it has been a wonderful time following the Lord's leading and serving Him as He has directed us. And we give God all the glory. Amen? Now, you may be thinking, well, Ron, now, why did you do that? Why did you tell us, share that story with us today? We wanted to hear something from the Bible. Well, hang on, you will. But here's why I shared that with you. I wanted you to know what this church did to answer the call of going into the world as God called us to do. Amen? Now, some of you know that we're just a few of the many pastors and missionaries and other leaders that this church has been a part of sending out. Men and women from some of these families sent out pastors and missionaries into the world. This is going to go back a ways, but the family, the Folsom family, the Bearden family, the Millers, the Hayeses, the McDowells, the Dills, the Brownings, the Woods, the Shomos, the Holdens, the Dunlops, the Greens, the Karkoskis, the Gurnons, the Halls, the Bennetts, the DeCrastuses, the Wainscots, the Cables, and the Wilsons. And I hesitated almost to mention those names because I am sure that I have forgotten some names, and I apologize that for so much if I have. I've talked to two or three people this week, and even though I had a list, they were telling me more, and so I know there are more, and I'm sorry if I've left out any names there than that. But, and I'm not going to go names here, but how about the many lay ministers, the lay leaders that this church, AFC, has sent out also over and over? I can think of one that made a huge impact in my life back in Sunday school years and years ago that's now a lay minister out there in our world. You see, this sending that we're talking about has, in a sense, it's been the past legacy of this church. And that is absolutely awesome. And it will continue going forward as this church sends people out into the world, into faraway places. But we're going to come back to that in just a moment. So building on that thought a little bit, let me ask you a question. Going forward, what will you leave behind on this earth when you depart it? Again, we're talking about legacy, if you will. Now, most people, I think, most of us probably, assume that there will never be a biography written about us. So we don't even really worry too much about our legacy. But I want to ask again, what will your legacy be? You see, Jesus modeled for us how we are to live. He loved unconditionally, didn't he? He instructed us to be faithful and to be forgiving of everyone. So today, let's see what Jesus left behind so that we can make sure that we're on track as well. Amen? Philip Yancey, in the book, The Jesus I Never Knew, writes these words. He said, on the day Jesus ascended, the disciples stood around dumbfounded, like children who have lost their parent. Two angels sent to calm them asked the obvious question, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The sky was blank, empty. Still they stood and gazed, not knowing how to go on or what to do next. Yancey continues. He said, Jesus left no traces of himself really on earth. He wrote no books or even pamphlets. A wanderer, he left no home or even belongings. Even belongings, he says, that could be enshrined in a museum. He didn't leave those. He did not marry, settle down, and begin a dynasty. We would, in fact, know nothing about him except for the traces that he left in human beings. Think about that. St. Augustine wrote, you ascended from before our eyes, and we turned back grieving. And then the key is only to find you in our hearts. You see, from the day Christ returned to heaven until now, he has been searching for people to live his life in. Look how Paul said it in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He said, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is. You see, if we live like that scripture says, we can't help but be passionate about the mission that Christ left for all Christ followers to do. And we will be transformed into the reflection of what Jesus was when he was here. Amen? But if we were honest, if we're really honest with what's going on, we would have to agree that the church in America really needs to do a better job of being Jesus in a culture that desperately needs the good news. As I've thought on Pastor Joe's fan or follower sermons that he's preached over the last month, and it was just awesome how he was able to draw us to that fact that there's a difference between being a fan and being a true follower of Jesus. But as I thought about that, this quote from Dallas Willard in the book The Great Omission it makes a lot of sense. Here's what he said in that book. For at least several decades, the churches of the Western world have not made discipleship a condition of being a Christian. We might almost be able to replace that word discipleship with follower when we think about Pastor Joe's messages to us. But have they not made discipleship a condition of being a Christian? One is not required to be or intend to be a disciple in order to become a Christian. And one may remain a Christian without any signs of progress towards discipleship. When I read and think on that, I have to say how sad that is. And so, for me, I'm a question. I like to ask questions. So I would ask, why is that? Why is that the case? Why is discipleship seen to be not important like it maybe used to be, or what it should be at least? Why is it that many don't go on to look like Christ? Why is it that we find it so hard to live like he lived and love like he loved? Why is it so hard to stay focused on the mission that Christ gave us to do? My friends, Jesus never said, all men will know you are my disciples if everyone agrees with you politically. Don't kill me. Don't shoot me. But that's not what Jesus said, did he? What he said was, they will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Amen? So, let me share three things Jesus left behind that we are called, I believe, to leave behind as well. First, he left behind people that he did life with. He did life with. Everywhere he went, Jesus reached out and touched those around him. There were blind people and people possessed by demons and crippled people and people guilty of adultery and people who were outcast and despised. But in all those situations, Jesus was there for them. You see, I love teaching and I love training and it's good. You see, books and workshops and classes on how to disciple, those are good. They are. But what we really need, my friends, what we really need is to make a decision to choose to invest in the person or people that we are called to disciple. You can only make a difference in someone's life by connecting and being with them. And let me tell you this, I'm not telling you anything most of you don't know. It's going to cost you if you do that. It's going to cost you time. And it's going to take effort. But it's worth it. You see, if we take Jesus' command to make disciples seriously, there's no substitute for being there. You see, Jesus touched people by being with them. To the rich young ruler, he said, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. To Zacchaeus, he said, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And to the woman at the well in Samaria, he said, will you give me a drink? Jesus invested time and energy in leading people into a growing relationship with himself. You know, what it did was it started with the little children. You know the stories in the Bible of the little children coming to Jesus. Then it moved to the poor and to the rich. It moved to the sick and also the rejected. And the question is, do we do that? Do we do that? Now, here's some possibilities. You start with your own children, yes? Start with your own. And then how about kids and youth at church? How about that new Christian, that new attender that came in? How about a struggling person who just needs a friend? about that server at the restaurant or the one that hands you your coffee at the coffee shop? And yes, it's the people of this surrounding community. Amen? I thought I'd get a little bigger amen on that one. I'll ask you for it. I'm not afraid to ask you for an amen. So, yes, Jesus left behind people who he did life with. Yes, next, he left behind people that he mentored. Jesus spent time with the 12 that he taught. And everywhere that I have been, I've tried to encourage people to be a part of at least three things. Number one, worship. It's awesome. We've got to be a part of that. Number two, a small group or Sunday school, wherever that smaller group can gather together. And then at least one other ministry. And no, that's not okay for those of you who are doing two or three or who knows how many ministries to back off. The challenge is at least one, and then do what God has asked you to do with your gifts. But those three things. One church that I saw called them the three C's. Celebration, worship, community, that gathering together in that smaller group in Sunday school, and then three, the call that God has given you in your life to fulfill the mission that he's given us. And you see, what the thing is that all three of those are important. Because let's think about this for a minute. If all we have, as great as it is all, if all we are is just part of worship, then it's really hard, really, to have mature disciples. It's tough. Jesus said very simply that we are to make disciples of others, and that we were to teach them to obey what he had commanded. And my friends, we need mature leaders to step up and be willing to touch and give to others. And we need disciples who are willing to give up time to become the followers that Jesus wants us to be. Yes, Jesus left behind people he mentored. And number three, he left behind people with a testimony. You see, when we die, for most of us, even though these are good things, not much will be made of our titles or what people has called us, you know, our degrees or all the stuff that we spend huge amounts of our time and energy on. But what we will be celebrated most for is the relationships that we have created with others. Amen? So the question is, what have we done for others? What will people say at your funeral? Will there be people standing in line to testify about what you have done for them and for others? You see, Jesus left behind a lot of people who had testified about his actions. There's a scripture in John 4, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. In John chapter 9, I don't know whether he is a sinner, the man replied, but I know this, I was blind and now I can see. Whew. And then in Luke chapter 8, the disciples were terrified and amazed. Who is this man, they ask each other, when he gives a command, even the wind and waves obey him. Whew. Testimonies to what Jesus did for others. Tony Campolo once preached a message a number of years ago, and so I want to share with you. You may have heard parts of this before, but for today I feel like it's so important, and I just want to share some of it with you here. Here's what he said. He said, I belong to a black church. Now, Tony, that you all know, was a white gentleman. He looked kind of like me, okay? And he says, I belong to a black church.
and it's really fun to speak there. He said, in my church, you always know how you're doing. Even when you're not doing well, they let you know. One time I was halfway through a sermon that was going nowhere, and some lady in the back yelled, "Help him, help him, help him, Jesus, help him, Jesus." And I knew it wasn't going well. Now he goes on and he says in this sermon, he says, once a year at my church, we have student recognition day. And the college students come back and they sit in the first three or four rows. One by one, they come to the pulpit and they tell the congregation what they are doing. I'm studying engineering at MIT. And you'll hear the grandmothers and grandfathers going, "My, my, thank you, Jesus." Someone else will say, "I'm studying law at Harvard. Oh, Lordy, 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 thank you, Lord. I'm studying music at Juilliard. Thank you, Jesus." And then he says, "You think you've heard great music today," Tony says. He says, "but you haven't heard the greatest music until you hear about 500 grandmothers and grandfathers moaning and groaning of joy." Now he says, when they were all seated, he said, then my pastor looked at them and said, now this was Tony's pastor there at the church. He said, "Children, you're going to die. It's a good thing to tell young people because they don't think they're going to die." He says, "You're going to die. They're going to take you off to the cemetery. They're going to drop you in a hole. They're going to throw dirt in your face. And they're going to go back to the church and eat potato salad." "Ain't that the truth?" he said. He said, "when you were born, you were the only one that cried. Everybody else was happy. That is not important. Here's what's important. When you die, won't you be the only one that's happy and everybody else will cry? It depends on what your life is about and what you are living. Are you living for titles or testimony?" The pastor said. And then Tony says in his sermon, he says, "Well, let me give you what only my black preacher can do. He swept through the Bible in 5 minutes. It was incredible," he said. He said he started with Genesis and went through Revelation. He said there was Moses. There was Pharaoh. Pharaoh had a title, but when it was over, that was all he had, was a title. Moses had testimonies. Queen Jezebel, she was going to destroy Elijah, the prophet of God, but when it was over, all Jezebel had was a title. But Elijah had testimony. There was King Darius, and he threw Daniel in the lion's den. But when it was over, all Darius had was a title, but Daniel had the testimony. And then he went on and said, "People of God, one of these days they're going to drop you in a hole, throw dirt in your face, and go back to the church and eat potato salad. And the question is, what will it all mean? Do you want a tombstone with all those things that they've called you? I guess that's all right, but wouldn't it be even better if there were people gathered around your grave giving testimonies about how you blessed them, how you helped them, and how you ministered to them?" And then he said, "Now don't get me wrong. I wish for you both titles and testimonies." Amen. I'm thankful that some call me pastor, because that's what God's called me to. And so I agree with this. They're both okay. He said, "I wish for you both titles and testimonies. But if you have to make a choice," he said, "hear me out. If you have to choose between, for me, I'm going to say be called a pastor or testimonies," he said, "you go for the testimonies." Amen? And so you know the question we ought to be asking? What's my testimony? And who have I planted it in? Do you want to be more and more like Jesus, or have the things of this world that come between you and your passion for Christ? Let's make sure that we're working on leaving behind what Jesus left behind. William Barclay said, Jesus did not say, discuss me. Discuss me. He said, follow me. He said, we do not make terms with Christ. We surrender to Christ. We do not compromise with Christ. We submit to Christ. Christianity does not mean being interested in Jesus. It means taking the same oath as princes take to a king or queen in a coronation. My friends, Jesus Christ came to the earth to show us how to live and how to love. His life was the perfect example of how we are to live our lives. We are to be the eyes and the hands and the feet and the heart of Jesus Christ himself, a life that points others to God. What will you leave behind? Mother Teresa had a prayer. I want to read part of it to you here. It said, Dear Jesus, help us to spread your fragrance everywhere we go. Shine through us and be so in us that every soul we come in contact with may feel your presence in our soul. Let them look up and see no longer us, but only Jesus. Stay with us, and then we will begin to shine as you shine, so to shine as to be a light to others. The light, O Jesus, will be all from you. None of it will be ours. It will be you shining on others through us. Let us thus praise you in the way you love best, by shining on those around us. And then she concluded with, let us preach you without preaching, not by words, but by our example. Amen? Whew. So, back to our legacy here at AFC. I think that a big part, as I said before, a big part of our legacy from the past was our sending of workers into the harvest field, all over the country, all over the world. And that includes those lay ministers and leaders that have went everywhere in our country and across our world as well. And you know what? That legacy is awesome. That legacy is so good. But guess what? It seems that this now is what I sense and what I'm hearing as I'm listening and around the church. It seems like that this is what God is telling AFC now. Our legacy now, yes, will still be sending some, if not many, to far away places. God's called us to do that. But our future legacy here at AFC, at least for the time now that we're in, really will be exhibited in something much closer than that. It will be what we do in this surrounding neighborhood through this community center and the other avenues that we have here at Anderson First Church. So, team, if you'll go ahead and come up, worship team. So, here's what I want to just challenge you with today. Are you going to be willing to touch people right outside these walls, even if they don't look like you? Even if they don't act like you. Even if they don't smell like you. Even if they don't talk like you. Will you be willing to step up and teach those just down the street who need your expertise? Will you impact those close to home in such a way that they will have a testimony about AFC and especially about Jesus? This is not in here, but it just came to my mind. In the 80s, those of you that were here know that we made a conscious decision to stay in this neighborhood. The choice was, do we go out and build this out somewhere on the edge of town, or do we stay in this? And a conscious decision, I believe it was God preparing us for this day and this time right now. So that's where God has us. And so I would ask, with all of that, what will you leave behind? As I think on Pastor Joe's so timely messages on fan and followers. You see, fans, they stay in the stands. They stay in the stands. Followers move. Come on. Whew. I can't move as much with these legs, but yet. But followers move, right? And so, here's what I'm going to challenge you this morning. I'm going to ask you if you will come and join me up here. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. If you want to come to the altar and pray, kneel, that's fine. But I'm going to ask many, 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 if not almost all of you, to come forward here in just a moment and join me as we make a commitment to what God asks us to do to meet those needs of our neighbor, the real neighbor that's right there by us right now. Now, what I know is, because I have inside information, and I'm watching and I'm seeing, there are so many of you that already have said yes. Amen? Come on. So many are sitting right here. You're already invested. You've said yes. Whatever God asked me to do to meet those needs out here, I'm there. And so what I'm hoping is, see, you're already giving a lot. Maybe you're all to the mission. And so you know who you are. And others here in the church know who you are too. And so I'm thinking that some of you are going to be the first to step up and say, I'm still committed. I'm still going to do it when God asks me to teach or help or monitor or lock the doors or serve coffee, whatever it is. So I'm hoping you'll be some of the first that'll come and join me, because what we're going to do is we're going to come up here, and there's something about just kind of gathering in close. Amen? Just kind of gathering in close, and there's a unity that's there, and it's a response. It's a response to God's calling and talking into our lives. So I'm just going to ask you here in a moment to come, and Abby's going to begin leading us. Is this a kind of a new one for us here? It's a new song, but when you start singing with us, all of us together, these words, wow, it's right where God's got us. It's right where He has us. So, would you stand? Would you stand with me? And I'm just going to ask the team to go ahead and begin, and I'm going to ask many of you, as many as can possibly do it, to come and join me here at the front. And we're going to join in with the team singing this commitment, this thing that God is challenging us to do. Let's sing it.
The road may seem, I'll follow where your spirit leads. 'Cause broken as my life may be. 'Cause I will give you every piece. Jesus. I hear you call, and I am available, and I'll say yes, Lord, 'cause I am available. 'Cause here I am with open hands, I'm counting on your grace again. And less of me and more of you.
Come on.
I just wanna see you move, and I hear you call. I am available, and I say yes, Lord. I am available, and I.
To the Lord this morning.
say, yes, Lord, I am available. Amen. One last challenge. Let's all make sure that we follow Jesus in such a way that one day we hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? Let me give you a blessing as we close. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. Let's go with God.